Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, the US President Joe Biden has made a major announcement in the last couple of minutes where he has said that the US is going to give nearly $8 billion in military aid to Ukraine. Details are still emerging on that, but we do know that that will include long-range munitions. So we'll bring you the latest on that, because we know that President Zelensky of Ukraine has been long demanding permission to fire those long-range missiles into Russia to hit Russian military targets. We don't know whether that permission has been granted, but Zelensky has said in the United States this morning that that aid will help achieve Ukrainian victory. So we'll bring you more on that as the details emerge. Now, though, how many of these voices can you name?
I'm here, actually, to apply for a job. But I've got to be honest with you, it's not the job I want. I don't want to be leader of the opposition. I want to be prime minister.
So this is about fixing ourselves before going to the country and saying, oh, why don't you give us another go? Here are some new policies. Nobody trusts us right now because they don't think we delivered last time.
And I think it is incredibly important that just as Scottish and Welsh leaders speak up for their distinct national identities, so do English politicians as well.
We must be unified. We must be disciplined. And unity is not the easy option. It is the harder option. But we can choose to unite or we can choose to stay in opposition.
As you might have worked out, they're the four candidates vying to be the next leader of Britain's Conservative and Unionist Party. We heard Tom Tugendhat, Kemi Badenoch, Robert Jenrick and James Cleverly. But after a disastrous election where the Conservatives lost two-thirds of their seats that they won in 2019, what kind of Tory party will emerge from the wreckage? Well, to take a look through the candidates with us now, we're joined by Financial Times political editor George Parker. Good morning, George.
Morning.
So what, first of all, factions exist now within the Conservative Party in the wake of the bruising election?
Well, basically, there are two principal factions. There's a sort of right-wing faction, the faction that believes the Conservative Party lost the last election disastrously on July the 4th because they weren't tough enough on things like immigration and were ceding ground to Nigel Farage and his Reform Party. And the other faction is the so-called One Nation faction, sort of traditional centre, moderate Tories, who think the real problem with the Conservatives is they drifted too far to the right and lost touch with their core supporters in the heartlands of England. And they're the people who are worried about losing seats to the Liberal Democrats. The problem for the Tories is they're fighting on two fronts and they're pulling in different directions.
Well, let's talk about the four people left in the race whose voices we heard there. Robert Jenrick, do you agree that he seems like the front runner at this stage?
Well, I was just checking the bookies' odds, and he's 2-1 on to win. So he's someone who was 100-1 outsider at the start of this whole process a few months ago when people were... I had a message from a friend yesterday who said he spotted his potential a while back. He's a former immigration minister. Many of your listeners will be unfamiliar with Robert Jenrick. He quit Rishi Sunak's government because he thought that Sunak wasn't being tough enough on migration. He used to be someone who was seen as a bit of a moderate, frankly, sort of known as Robert Generic, sort of just a standard Tory MP. But he's carved out a niche for himself as the one who's sort of prepared to take very tough positions on immigration. And as a consequence, given the fact the Tory membership is very right wing, he is the favourite.
Mm. So we heard him in the clip talking about English nationalism. But then when he's interviewed about that, the interviewers have been struggling to pin down what he really means.
Yeah, there's always a danger when you get into that sort of trying to define what Englishness is. Lots of English people aren't really that bothered about being English. They think of themselves as British, and they probably think English and British are the same thing. So I think once you get down the roots talking about national identity, you often get into slightly tricky situations. One thing that Jenrick is very keen on is to reopen the whole European debate in terms of Britain pulling out of the European Convention of Human Rights. Obviously, that has nothing to do with the EU, but it has Europe in its title. And that excites many Tory members, the fact that he's prepared to go and have another battle with foreign judges. So, he's someone who's positioning himself on the right of the party, the voice of English nationalism, the forgotten English majority in the country, as he puts it.
So then we have our centrist candidate, Tom Tugendhat. What's his pitch?
Yeah, he's a former security minister, sort of very well educated, comes from a sort of very prominent, sort of illustrious line of Tories. I think his uncle was a former European commissioner. He was always seen as very much the one nation flag bearer. He's seen as a bit of an outsider in the contest now. He sort of hasn't, his campaign hasn't really kicked off. People have thought he's been rather opportunist. He, like Jenrick, has been talking about pulling out of the ECHR. No one really believes he's serious about it. So he's the outsider. He's just dumped a whole load of freebie merch on our desks for so-called in a box marked "I'm a Tugend hack," and it's like a survival pack for the Tory conference with things
what,
like.
What did you get?
We got some stress balls, some M&Ms. I think there's some caffeine sort of Pro Plus type things as well. But I think they'll probably need slightly more than that to give his campaign a lift.
Really. Okay, it's not working, is it?
Not especially.
Kemi Badenoch then ran for leader 2 years ago. She came from nowhere and outperformed expectations in that competition, didn't she?
She did. She's seen as a fresh face, youngish, very forthright, and someone who's sort of seen as being on the right of the party. She spends an awful lot of time talking about culture war issues, particularly on the trans issue. Single-sex toilets is one of her big obsessions. That resonates quite strongly with Conservative Party members. I think they quite like the way she was a self-made woman who sort of arrived from Nigeria and had to work her own way up through the party and through society as well, actually, for that matter. The thing about Kemi Badenoch is she is extremely abrasive. And the question is whether, in an era where the public just want a bit less politics in their lives, whether Kemi Badenoch, with her quite confrontational stance on a range of issues, is really in keeping with the tone of the times.
Mm-hmm. Well, James Cleverly, our next candidate, he's not abrasive, but perhaps too closely associated with the previous leaders.
Yeah, he's definitely the most emollient one. He's sort of a very calm, reassuring former Foreign Secretary and Home Secretary, quite popular at Westminster. Was regarded as quite a successful foreign secretary, actually, until David Cameron was brought back to replace him. Someone who actually does diplomacy, does talk to people in a normal sort of human sort of way. Some people think, as you say, he's a bit too closely associated with the ancien regime, and maybe a bit safe and maybe a little bit, you know, unexciting. My personal view is, if I was the Conservative Party going for it, I would go for someone like James Cleverly. He's tried and trusted. And basically, you need the Tories, and from my point of view, I think at least the Tories need to have a competent, realistic prime minister in waiting, and then wait for the incumbent government, Keir Starmer's government, to start to fall apart as governments inevitably do.
So what happens now? How will they decide?
Well, they all descend on Birmingham over the next 48 hours for the Conservative Party conference, which has been set up as a kind of beauty contest for these four candidates. It's an extraordinary event. Rishi Sunak, who is still, just to remind your listeners, the leader of the Conservative Party, will turn up briefly on Sunday and then disappear and then clear the stage for these four candidates we've been discussing to do their stuff in front of the party membership. There are two question and answer sessions on Monday and Tuesday, and then the key moment will be on the Wednesday when they make a 20-minute speech each and pitch for the support of the members. There's another stage in this contest to come where MPs will whittle the shortlist down to two, and that final shortlist of two will go out to the members at the end of October, and we will have, at the end of this long-running saga, a new Conservative leader in place on November the 2nd.
Okay, so it's all, really is all to play for, despite the fact, as you say, that Robert Jenrick is out in front, because everything could change over these next few days.
I think so. The party conference, this audition in front of the party membership, is actually really important, and I think that's 2005, where this format, I think, was trialled for the first time, and David Davis was at the time the red-hot favourite to become the new Tory leader. And a fresh-faced David Cameron came along, gave a very confident speech without notes, walking around the stage and talking directly to the party membership. And he really knocked their socks off. And against all the odds, Cameron came through and became Tory leader and, of course, later Prime Minister. So these things do have an effect. I personally think that Jenrick will actually perform quite well in this format. Kemi Badenoch as well. If I was to put money on it at this stage, I say Jenrick is almost certain to get into the final two, probably against Kemi Badenoch, but possibly against James Cleverly.
All right, well, we'll certainly keep a close eye. And George, thank you for taking us through the candidates, the four who are left. George Parker, Financial Times political editor.